and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight, and we'll have Linda Cohn up later on the program. Now, speaking of ESPN, Stephen A. Smith had a take today. We've already played the cut, and most of the text line reaction to it was, I shall say, positive, if that's the right word. But there are some people that are very, very upset. And I have to assume that in Memphis, on Memphis Sports Radio, they're a lot more upset. So here's what Stephen A. had to say. This was with Marcus Morris on First Take today and somebody else when talking about players and choosing to go to play for the Memphis Grizzlies, play the cut.
Marcus, listen, I know y'all got to go. You going to tell folks why nobody wants to be in Memphis or you want me to do it?
For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it. But you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be but in Memphis.
I want to hear you say, why you think?
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. Yeah. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know they've told me.
Okay. First of all, I still think every time I hear that cut, I laugh my ass off. You know, again, just thinking about the idea that Stephen A. Smith is like, I am talking to the local authorities in Memphis, clean up that city because NBA players don't want to play there. And my big thing with Memphis is Memphis has a reputation, fairly or unfairly. And I'm not one to sit here and tell you that it is fair or unfair because I don't spend a lot of time in Memphis. I don't like Memphis. I think it's dirty. I don't like Memphis. I think it's boring. I don't think there's much to do in Memphis. And quite frankly, like, it's kind of a hike. You know, I mean, I know it's in the same state. People will go to Memphis when they're not from here. You know, I'll be talking to someone, oh, I'm from Nashville. And, like, say I'm on vacation in a different country or whatever. Yeah, I'm in Nashville. Oh, yeah, we're going to Memphis. Okay, well, that's not really all that close to Nashville. Like, if I was going to go somewhere, I'd rather go to Atlanta. I'd rather go to Louisville. I'd rather go to Indianapolis. I'd rather go to Cincinnati. I'd rather go a lot of places other than Memphis. But the big thing that I said a couple years ago when Ja Morant got himself in trouble with brandishing handguns and Instagram videos and everything else, the thing I kept saying to people was, this is awful for Memphis's reputation. Because Memphis, again, whether it's fair or unfair, and again, I'm not one to tell you because I personally don't spend a lot of time there, but if it is fair or unfair, that is the reputation. What Stephen A. said, that it is a dangerous city. That is the reputation of Memphis. And Ja Morant, by getting in trouble, that, again, embraces gun culture, and there's stories of intimidating a worker at a Finish Line in the mall, and so on and so forth. That, in my opinion, did millions, if not billions of dollars worth of damage, because I think it probably solidified the reputation and the idea that people had in their minds when it came to Memphis. I don't think Stephen A. Smith should have to apologize. And while, again, most of the people in the text line, when we played that cut earlier today on the program, were like, yeah, that's the case with Memphis. Somebody texted and said he lived in Memphis his whole life, said he hasn't lived there in 10 years and ain't going back. One texter, very, very upset, said if Stephen A. Smith had any integrity whatsoever, he'd apologize for that awful generalization about Memphis and would actually mention the players that told them they don't want to play there. Frankly, your take about Ja Morant wasn't much better. If people are naive enough to associate one star athlete with an entire city, that's on them. Horrendous arguments like that from Stephen A. Smith and Mel Kiper's petulant rants amongst all other things have done much more damage to ESPN than Ja Morant ever did to Memphis. I'm sorry. Stephen A. Smith, all he did was probably tell the truth. And this guy saying, Stephen A. should say out loud, who doesn't want to play for the Memphis Grizzlies? He's not going to do that. But let me ask you a question. He said Jimmy Butler and them Cats. So it sounds to me like Jimmy Butler, and I don't want to assume, but he did say Jimmy Butler and them Cats. It sounds to me like Jimmy Butler probably is one of the guys who has said to Stephen A., like, yeah, no, I have no interest in Memphis. Don't you think Stephen A. is telling the truth? Don't you think that Stephen A. has talked to guys in the NBA? And I know that NBA players get mad at Stephen A. Tyrese Halliburton got mad at him last week. Kevin Durant gets mad at Stephen A. all the time. I know that they get mad at Stephen A., but that doesn't mean that every NBA player doesn't like Stephen A. In fact, I'm sure there are some NBA players out there that probably do suck up to Stephen A., knowing that, hey, I may only be playing for 5 or 6 more years, and then I'm going to want to get into TV, and who better to be buds with than Stephen A. Smith? Do you think Stephen A.'s making it up? I don't. And again, what I say about Memphis, I don't necessarily feel bad about because I have been to Memphis before. I don't like Memphis. I've been to Memphis a couple of times, which for somebody that lives in the same state, it's a little surprising. But again, Memphis has a bad reputation. And it's on Memphis. And it's on the players in Memphis that take pride. And the people of Memphis, it is on them to clean up that reputation. It's not on Stephen A. Smith not to relay the information that he has, which is telling him, hey, NBA players do not want to play in Memphis. And I got to tell you, my limited experiences in Memphis, not very good. Again, I think it is dirty. Like the city, I dirty. The buildings are dirty. The streets are dirty. Nashville's always kind of disliked Memphis because Memphis has always disliked us. But take the personal stuff out of it. Just talking about the city, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that from Stephen A. I was surprised Stephen A. said it on TV. Like, I was surprised that he just came out and basically said, hey, do you want to say it when it comes to Memphis, or do you want me to say it when it comes to Memphis? And when Marcus Morris wouldn't say it as it comes to Memphis, Stephen A. was like, fine, I'll say it. But I certainly think that there are players that are telling Stephen A. Smith, like, hey, we don't want to play in Memphis. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. Chris Vernon, been on the air in Memphis forever. Very talented host. Very talented host. I'm not going on the radio in Memphis. Like, I'm not interested. Jared, we can give you your own show, and we can pay you double, and you can live in Collierville, and you can... I'm not going. I'd rather live here. Memphis.
I'm trying to figure out what millionaire athletes could be doing in Memphis that they feel unsafe. We're not talking about blue-collar hourly workers who have no choice but to live in parts of Memphis. So I think if these basketball players are feeling unsafe in Memphis, they're engaged in activities that are making them feel unsafe. It's not just being in the city itself.
That is a take, Reed. Here's what I would say. First of all, I just don't know enough about Memphis. I haven't been to Memphis in 9 years. I haven't been to Memphis since like the Donald Trump Hillary Clinton election. That's how long it's been since I've been to Memphis. I find it to be a very boring city. I find there not to be a lot to do there. You know, there's some good monuments there. There's Graceland. There's the Martin Luther King exhibit. Like, there's all that stuff. It's fine. But at the same time, like, when it comes to not feeling safe in Memphis, I would agree with you. Like, there are some pretty nice suburbs in Memphis. Those schools. I remember when I was in high school, we played a basketball tournament at St. George's, which is, I don't exactly remember which suburb of Memphis it was in. Maybe Germantown, but it was in one of those. Very, very nice, very, very expensive. But at the same time, my guess is when it comes to the feeling safe, first off, I wonder if the teams, when they go into Memphis, if they stay by the Forum downtown, and so maybe that's part of it. But also, I think it's the reputation Memphis has. And by the way, outside of that one guy, text line pretty much in agreement. Memphis kind of stinks. So I would say, you know what, Memphis? You have got to clean up your reputation. And I think the Grizzlies, you need to be a part of the solution. And John Morant, stop playing with the guns on Instagram. It is not good for the city of Memphis. That's my take there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Matthew says, move the Grizzlies to Nashville. That won't happen. Texture says, I lived in Memphis for 35 years before moving to Murfreesboro. The only thing good about Memphis is the food, especially the barbecue. It is a dangerous city. So glad I got my family out of there. Another texture says, Memphis is a dump. No one feels safe in Memphis. Not sure about how much money you have exactly. Remember that that is not an opinion. That is a fact. One of those is very nice. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but I'm with you on all of that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. So there's another thing that I want to get to that I'm not surprised by, I'm not shocked by, I'm not appalled by, I'm not angered by, but it is a little disappointing. It's a little disappointing. Plus, a lot of you want to weigh in on Memphis. We'll get to that. We'll continue the Memphis talk as well. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Stephen A. Smith goes in on Memphis again, basically saying that the players he has talked to in the NBA have said, look, we like, you know, Memphis has great fans. It's a good city, but we don't feel safe there, so we're not going there. I think, again, the word that Stephen A. Smith said was, or the phrase was, Jimmy Butler and them cats. So I went to Chris Vernon's Twitter. Chris Vernon's a very good radio host. He's been doing sports radio in Memphis. Reed, how long has Vernon been in Memphis for?
Oh, gosh. I mean, coming on 2 decades at least, as far as I can remember.
So he's kind of an authority when it comes to Memphis. And I knew, like I knew there was going to be something that Chris Vernon says, which I was thinking about this during the break. If Stephen A. Smith said the problem with the Titans is the players there don't feel safe going to Nashville, how would I feel about that? But we don't have that problem, so I don't know how I would react to it. You can't be a local host and sit there and say something like, yeah, Stephen A.'s right, our city sucks. I don't think you can do that. But I'm reading this article, Barrett Sports Media, where they immediately picked up Chris Vernon's show from today, talking about in response, former Grizzlies player Tony Allen, who was a guest co-host on Tuesday's edition of the Chris Vernon Show, shared his perspective. Allen, who was born in Chicago but played 7 years for the Grizzlies, addressed Smith's opinions on the city of Memphis. Quote, Memphis ain't really what you hyping it up to be, Stephen A. Memphis is a real wholesome city. We grind down here. We work blue-collar people, and we love basketball. And that's what you call people doing salt shaking. He's slick hating on the side. Chris Vernon, who has lived in Memphis for the past quarter century, expressed disappointment in Smith's commentary, calling it deeply irresponsible. Quote, talk about somebody that's been here. That's what's fair, said Vernon. We have our problems. Nobody is denying that Memphis has its own problems. We are talking about a very specific thing, which is that NBA players don't want to come here. He is saying on national TV that players don't want to come to Memphis. If that's true, why have none of them requested a trade? Why have none of them left? Furthermore, Allen went on to emphasize that he has seen the city of Memphis hold a different type of respect for NBA players during his time playing and living in the community. When asked by Vernon if he ever in his career heard a player speak about the city of Memphis in the way Stephen A. Smith described, Allen simply replied, quote, ain't nobody ever said that. That sounds very local homerish, does it not? Like, Stephen A., you're wrong about what you said. I could be wrong. Again, felt very local homerish to me. Let's get to some phones. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew says, do we think Memphis would be a different city today if the Titans had made Memphis home instead of Nashville? So I don't know the answer to this because I didn't live in Memphis before the Titans were there. I know what the Titans have done for the city of Nashville. And anybody who, again, talks about building team stadiums and, oh, the research shows it doesn't really do much. I mean, our downtown is absolutely popping because of the football team and the hockey team and the venues and the events and everything else. I can't tell you about Memphis. I do know this. When Jacksonville and Carolina got a franchise, when they were in the running, Memphis was very, very much a part of the equation. And Memphis has resented Nashville ever since our then mayor, Phil Bredesen, made a great move at convincing Bud Adams and the Titans to move to Nashville. Yes! Louisville wins in the bottom of the ninth inning against Oregon State. We live to play another day. I just wanted to throw that out there. All right, back to your phones on Memphis. One texter says that I work in Memphis for once a week, three times a year. It is nasty and dangerous. Nothing good and safe to do. A big-name athlete just got his home in Memphis robbed while he was away. Can't remember who. You should Google it. Do you remember who this guy's talking about, Reed?
No, the only big news that I remember were the Joe Burrow and
Mahomes.
And Mahomes from last year. I don't remember. I mean, of course, I wouldn't. If it's NBA news, I'm probably going to miss it. If it's also NBA news in Memphis, I'm definitely going to miss it.
I mean, plus, like, if you're talking about feeling safe, isn't the story about Lorenzen Wright, the Memphis Grizzlies player who was found dead and ended up was shot by his, or there was some sort of...
Yeah, but the story there is don't marry a gold digger.
I know. But again, it happened in Memphis.
But I think with most things with Stephen A., this all comes back to something else. I think there's something else he left unsaid there that we're not picking up on yet. Because as bad as Memphis is, I'm no fan of Memphis. My wife has to travel there for work sometimes. She does not go alone. I will not allow her to go alone to Memphis.
Really?
But there are two cities with NBA franchises that have higher murder rates than Memphis.
Okay, so I've gotten two texts in the text line that say, what about New Orleans and San Francisco? Is that who you're talking about?
No, New Orleans and Philadelphia.
Really?
New Orleans has the highest murder rate in all of the country.
I will tell you, I do not feel safe. I do not feel safe in New Orleans. Am I not allowed to say that?
Well, that's just, your liver doesn't feel safe there. I know that.
I don't think I've told the story on air about what happened to me at the Super Bowl. So at the Super Bowl, you know, I was the only one from the station that went to the Super Bowl. And so on like Tuesday or Wednesday night, everybody had like their company dinners, right? Well, like I have no company because it was just me. So everybody was like, yeah, we got our company dinner. And then after that, we're going to Pat O'Brien's or whatever. And I said, well, I guess I'm cool with just going to the casino in New Orleans. Again, it was a good night. This does not always happen. It was a good night in New Orleans. I won $2,000 at the casino in New Orleans. By the way, after that, like Caroline and my friends in Boston, and like they were texting me like, yeah, we're going to such and such. I'm like, y'all have fun. I'm going back to the hotel. Now, this is different because it was the Super Bowl. And I was staying at the same hotel with the Chiefs. Like, I actually ran into Travis Kelce that night. I was waiting for an Uber Eats order to show up, and I ran into Travis Kelce. We gave each other the head nod. But I'm walking down the street in New Orleans with more than $2,000 in my pocket. Now, the only reason I did this, instead of taking an Uber from the casino on the way back to the hotel, was because there were cops everywhere in New Orleans because it was the Super Bowl. And the National Guard, I'm not kidding about this, because it was the Chiefs hotel, the National Guard was outside of my hotel. And it was just like a 5-minute walk up the street. And I still walked up the street with my hand on that $2,000+ the entire way there. Because I was I do not like New Orleans. Now, it's a great city. And it's got its charm, but I am not a New Orleans guy. Like, again, the whole feeling safe. There was one time I was walking around New Orleans during the NBA All-Star Game 2014. And again, I like New Orleans, but oof, I did not necessarily feel totally safe there. Apparently, everybody in the text line says it was John Morant's house that got robbed, which I guess isn't that massive of a story.
No, again, because John Morant doesn't make the best decisions. John Morant probably not hanging out with the best people in the best part of towns and probably opens himself up to that.
One texter says, can we trade Memphis to Arkansas and take the Grizzlies? The problem is I'm not sure Arkansas wants Memphis. And wouldn't it be Mississippi that would take Memphis, not Arkansas? I mean, Memphis is really more Mississippi than it is Arkansas, right?
Yeah, there's a pretty big divide that goes on between that, on either side of that river, between Arkansas and Memphis.
Will in Brentwood says, I grew up in Memphis and moved to Nashville only to realize how dirty and stinky Memphis is. If it weren't for the Grizzlies, that city would break off and float down the Mississippi. Adam in Portland says, not saying Memphis doesn't suck. Memphis does suck. So does New Orleans. But I got the same vibes from Louisville yesterday. Not downtown, just driving across Louisville working. It started to trend downward. Just felt like a crappy place. I mean, look, I like Louisville. The city of Louisville has been very good to me. The downtown, I live downtown. I've actually talked to TD about this. And I forget exactly what. I think it was because TD was at the Sounds game when my buddy, who was my roommate in college, was coaching against him. And I think I was telling TD about, we lived in this like gated condo community downtown. And I mean, in Louisville downtown, like, it's rough. And I would wake up to like the, get down on the ground right now, get on the ground. And you would realize that there was something going on outside. But again, we were kind of gated or whatever. And it certainly, I just tell you, like, oof, there are some places in Louisville, I'm just saying, Louisville can be a tough city. By the way, great job by the Cards to come back and win in the College World Series. 615-737-1025. Game 6 of the Cup Final tonight. Is anybody watching? We'll get to that next. Nobody Company, 1025 The Game.
Marchie Hank here. Incredible game. And watching you play right now, I don't know the secret, but is this the best you felt in a while playing on the ice?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the loosest I felt. You know, I think I had a lot in my head early on, and right now I'm just enjoying every moment. I've said that a bunch, but it's such a special group of guys, and I'm having so much fun here right now. I honestly feel like a young guy in the league again. Just excited to be part of the group. You're a good liar. I see this beard.
There you go. That was after Game 5, Game 6 tonight. Linda Cohn just ahead on Game 6. And I got to tell you right now, I'm going to take Florida tonight. I think they're going to win. I mean, I would guarantee it, but I don't feel like that's guarantee-worthy that I would guarantee it unless you want to put it on the board. You can put it on the board, read if you want. Florida's going to win tonight. Florida's going to win the Cup. The TV ratings have just been awful. They just have been, and there's no real way to explain it. You can say, well, it's cable, but they're bad for cable. I've just decided that, you know what? Hockey, until they get a McDavid on the Rangers and they're in the Cup Final, it's just not going to draw if you don't have the superstars and the big markets together. And I've just learned that's how it's going to be. I mean, I was reading a story from Richard Deitch in The Athletic just about the TV ratings with hockey. He says, it can't be about boring hockey. The Panthers and Oilers have produced 39 goals, the most through five games of a championship series since 2010. Three of the final five games have been A-plus games, as good as we've seen over the last two decades. And the ratings are down 25% year over year. The NHL and Turner will likely be somewhat bailed out if this series goes seven, but it is a disappointing number given the quality of the games and the stars on the ice. And apparently an executive who has worked at ESPN and advises sports media companies said, quote, I find it really disappointing considering how remarkable the series was last year with seven games and how many of the star players played in the Four Nations faceoff, which was really highly rated on ESPN. Again, I'll just say this. I don't think people in America care about the Florida Panthers, and I don't think people in America care about the Edmonton Oilers. And I wonder if you're the NHL, Connor McDavid is a free agent after next year. Do you go to Connor and say, you know, we'd really like it if you played in New York. We'd really like it if you played in L.A., a la Wayne Gretzky. I don't know the answer. I just know this. I flipped on SportsCenter after the UofL game was over, and it is all Caitlin Clark all the time. And she draws. Like, I mean, she draws. So, I don't know what hockey does about this, but for people like me that love the game, I think it's totally worth it. I think it's totally interesting, and I can't worry too much about what everybody else likes. I think it's going to be a bad rating. I think Florida's going to kick the crap out of Edmonton tonight. I think they're going to win the Cup, and I do not think we'll get a Game 7 like we got last year. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. Of course, you can hear the game right here on 1025 The Game as well. Linda Cohn will join us coming up next here on the program at Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 through the game. The great Linda Cohn joins us now on the program. Linda, I know it's hockey. I know anything's possible. I know we've seen crazy things over the years, including last year. I think it's over. I think Florida is just too good. Am I over my skis on this one?
Jared, great analysis. Great to be with you always. You can never count out the Oilers, but I will say this. Florida, despite that they're only up 3-2, has outplayed the Oilers overall in every game. The two overtime wins, the only thing Oilers can hang their hat on. By the way, I was in the building in game two, so the classic double overtime. And then I was in the Sunrise in game four. I went as a fan, by the way, a hockey fan, paid for my tickets. So I'm a Looney Tune, by the way. So I saw two classics. But the difference with this Florida team is the man that stands 37 years young, Brad Marchand. When you watched the team step onto the ice last night, Florida seems so loose, so cool, and you look at the Oilers bench, and they really looked uptight to me. And they were playing at home. Before the series began, I thought this was the Oilers' year. I picked them in six. That's not going to happen. But I can't count them out, and you got to give credit, as you did, to Sergei Bobrovsky, who defines the art of the timely save. And I really believe that's been the difference, besides the incredible play of two guys that are going to battle it out for Conn Smythe if Florida wins, Marchand and Sam Bennett.
Mm-hmm. You know, Linda, what's crazy to me about Florida is if you go back to the top of the 2014 draft, it's not like Florida was able to pick everybody. They picked Aaron Ekblad with the first pick, and Sam Bennett went high in the draft. Sam Reinhart went high in the draft. And yet somehow, some way, Florida has been able to take these guys and really maximize their potential. And I know Paul Maurice came out before the cup final and said, this is the best team I've ever coached. Well, if you get the top of a draft and it's a good draft, that should be the case. What is it about the way Florida has been able? And I know Matthew Tkachuk was really good in Calgary before they got him. That was more him wanting out. But I do wonder, what is it about Florida where they can take a Sam Bennett and they can take a Sam Reinhart and they can turn them into the star players that Buffalo and Calgary thought when they drafted these guys?
Yeah, it's a culture, right? You know, we always – and, you know, kudos to the GM, Bill Zito. If your listeners don't know who that is, know his name. He is the one that built this incredible team, this incredible culture. He knew Brad Marchand was going to be a perfect fit for this culture. This is why these guys get paid the big bucks, and then this is also why you see other guys fired. And you see it a lot because they don't have that the smarts of putting together a hockey team like this. Now, it takes a lot. That coach, Paul Maurice, is something special. I didn't know this until he took over behind the bench for Florida because, you know, he suffered a lot of losses as well during his future Hall of Fame career. But I don't know what it is. Now, this series is not over. Connor McDavid has one goal in this series. We saw it last night. You cannot count out a Leon Draisaitl. This team does still believe in itself. I believe they're going to go back to Stuart Skinner. I thought Calvin Pickard was the right choice last night, and it just was out of his – it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming what Florida put there. But let's not, as I tweeted out, let's not put all the blame on Calvin Pickard last night. With 7.5 minutes to go in regulation, the Edmonton Oilers had 16 shots. That's it on Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to win any playoff game, let alone any Stanley Cup final playoff game, without putting more shots on net. Simple as that.
Linda, you brought up, you know, the goalie situation in Edmonton, and I can only imagine, you know, being Chris Knobloch in this situation, thinking to yourself, well, I mean, what options do I have? I don't really love either one. And it's funny you bring this up because Barry Trotz and I kind of get into discussions about this. There are great goaltenders that just go cold in the playoffs. You know, Connor Hellebuck is the best goalie on the planet. He wins the Hart and the Vezina. And what's he done in the playoffs? And yet at the same time, you know, Barry Trotz will tell me, the general manager in Nashville, longtime coach, he'll tell me, he goes, if you've ever sat behind that bench and you don't have a goalie, you don't know what it's like to be in that spot. And I look at Chris Knobloch now, and I just don't know. Yes, McDavid's great. Yes, Dreisaitl is great. I just don't know how they do this twice against that Florida team with the problems they have in net, Linda.
Yeah, that's why, and it always has been in this series, my biggest concern. When I've gone on other shows and talked with other people who asked me these same questions, that was what always came up with me, the goaltending, because it's such a world, a difference, a universe apart from a Bobrovsky to anyone the Oilers put in net. No offense to those goaltenders. They are, you know, NHL goaltenders. But that's always going to be the sticking point. Stuart Skinner is going to have to play out of his mind. We've seen him make big saves in this series. We've seen him have performances, although rare, but he has made big saves. Like, let's say in these big second periods that Florida has had in big games in the series, where Skinner, like, stopped, like, 15 of 17 shots or 16 of 17, you know, he has moments. But they look so awkward, both of them, when they have their moments. And it's just, let's give Florida the credit they deserve. They haven't won it yet. But the guy, you know, Barkov, to me, he has been a blanket of defense over Connor McDavid. He might have not have, you know, scored a goal yet. But his performance defensively is unreal. So all of these players, the Gustav Forslings, who throws his body in front of every shot, who stick checks at the right time, this type of play, Jared, is the reason why the Oilers look like they're not themselves. They look tired, right? They were the team that looked tired from the cross-country trip. And by the way, I mean, when the NBA takes a freaking week off in between games, it seems like, what a joke. What a joke. I don't care who's playing at what arena and you can't get the arena. I mean, to play this game last night in less than 48 hours from what, you know, the game they had in game four is to whatever. Game four is absolutely ridiculous. So the Oilers looked exhausted and tired while Florida had tremendous jump in their step. You know, we'll see what happens now that, you know, they have the extra day here. You know, we'll see what goes on, but I can't count out the Oilers if they get a couple of breaks. But I will say this, and this would be a different series. The Oilers would be winning this series, I swear by this, if Zach Hyman was playing.
Linda, that was my next question for you. This was the comparison I made earlier today, the great Linda Cohn from ESPN with us. This would be like the Chicago Bulls in the 90s losing Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
With
yes.
Zach Hyman out. Yes, they still have Jordan, and yes, they have Pippen, but are they winning titles without Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman? I don't think the answer is yes. That's how big. What do you make of that comparison?
Yeah, I love that comparison. Absolutely. There's no question, because you need the sandpaper. You need the grit. You need the, you know, that kind of guy that's not going to watch his team be pushed around, which in several of these games in this series, that's what has been going on with the Oilers. And when they try to, you know, push Florida around, it was an embarrassment in that game three debacle. I mean, it was like an unwatchable game, the 6-1 game or whatever it was. I mean, I was like, really? You know, so Zach Hyman, not only he would not let this happen, he's not, for your listeners who may not know what this guy brings to the table, the guy puts the puck in the net. He scores goals. Give credit to the 40-year-old Corey Perry, who's doing his best as he can, Zach Hyman imitation. But it's not Zach Hyman, because Zach Hyman would be not allowing his team to be pushed around and at the same time be pushing the opposition around and causing major havoc with Sergei Bobrovsky in front of the Florida net, which would have led to many, many goals. Look at his numbers last year when these two teams played. Remarkable.
Linda Cohn with us on the program. You know, Linda, you've been in TV for a long, long time. You've seen it all. I do wonder this. I think hockey has had a great stretch here, whether it was the $7.5 million that they got for Game 7 last year, whether it was the almost $10 million they got for the Four Nations face-off. They had the Ovechkin chase, you know, earlier this year. The TV ratings and being on cable, I think, has hurt the Stanley Cup final. The TV ratings are not as good as I would like as a hockey fan for this incredible Florida team and the best player in the world, maybe the best player in all of sports right now, in Connor McDavid. Do you think Gary Bettman should be concerned about that? Or do you think, given it's cable, given that Edmonton is not an American team, they're doing great in Canada as far as the TV ratings are concerned, how do you think Gary Bettman and the league look at this?
Yeah, I think Gary Bettman just wants to make money. And to your point with Adam Silver and all that in your conversation moments ago, regarding their ratings, because, you know, you can make a case, why aren't their ratings better? Because they have, you know, excited. They've had, you know, many of these games have been exciting. They have the MVP. Sure. They got the Magic team in the Indiana Pacers, which people got to know and learn against the Knicks, because a lot of sports, casual sports fans were like, Indiana Pacers, huh? But then they tuned in because they were playing the Knicks, and we saw what went on there. So, but that hasn't carried over. But I don't think Gary Bettman, sure, he'd like more eyeballs on his product. But as long as he's making money and selling the game and they're doing the best they can, and I agree with you, this past 7 months has been remarkable for the NHL. And, you know, it's baby steps. It's always baby steps. But, you know, the real hockey fan as well, like, I've given up on that. You know, I always promote the game. I have such passion for it. You know, I played the game, but I still will swear by the Stanley Cup. And I'm a big NFL person. I love the NFL. But, you know, you got betting involved with the NFL. And I've been saying that forever when betting first started, when fantasy teams first started. And the NFL's a great game. Football's a great game. I mean, I like the NFL better than college. But it's a lot of it, and a lot of those eyeballs are due to money and betting and all that. Hockey is really not a great sport to bet on, although I wish I did bet, because I think I would be up right now in this series for many little prop bets that I was telling people about. But all seriousness, I don't know what else the commissioner can do in this case, and it's up to the players to put out a good product. And I think for the most part, they have, and having a rematch, I think that has helped. I really do. I know you mentioned Edmonton and nobody cares, but it's a show watching it because those fans are unbelievable. You know, it's like a circus there.
Linda Cohn, the great Linda Cohn, who's been doing this for 3 decades and still throws 97 right down the pipe. As always, Linda, it's an honor to have you on the program. It's great to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the final.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Anytime, Jared. Keep up the great work.
That was the great Linda Cohn, ahead of game number 6 of the Stanley Cup final. That will do it for us. We are out of here. Game 6 will be here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. So get excited about that. Stillman & Company, we'll see everybody. We'll be live at First Horizon Park. And by the way, I want to thank the Sounds for adjusting the schedule and having us out there tomorrow. But we will be live at First Horizon Park tomorrow for Stillman & Company. We expect to see some people out there. And we'll see everybody tomorrow at 2:00.